This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the 3 o'clock hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Adam Klug on the other side. Little Gwynn and Chris, we were going to do a Daily Gambit, but instead, we're going to go. We're going to talk some Lakers because I'm a little salty today after getting the news.
You're like a spurned. You're like a spurned.
I am.
You're spurned today.
I am spurned.
Yeah.
Spurned boyfriend, whatever you want to call
right.
it. Yeah. That's me today, I'm fighting. You know, everything in my heart not to be a Dan Hurley hater now. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah,
you know,
but we kind of already were, a little bit at least. I mean, after they, you know, stomped on the Aztecs.
Well, you know, I had reason. I had good reason. They beat us down pretty good.
Yes, they did.
And then,
did.
Like, they laughed
and he
at
seemed
us,
to
too.
He seemed to show very little respect for us in that game, I must say.
Yeah, he didn't. And, you know, I respect his competitiveness on that end. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Like, he was all right. I didn't take that to heart too much. However, I take this to heart a lot. They offered my man $70 million, reportedly.
$70 million.
And I can't, and maybe because I'm a West Coaster, I can't understand for the life of me why anyone would not want to be in Southern California versus Connecticut.
Stores Connecticut to that, even worse.
Yeah, Stores.
I don't know. I mean, I've never been to Stores. I have been to Hartford, where UConn plays some games. Hartford at least has, like, streetlights and, you know... courthouse and things like that.
Do we know that the other place doesn't have
streetlights?
I don't
know what Stores has. I mean, I've read a few articles about this. It's a minor miracle in a lot of ways that the University of Connecticut has become the kind of basketball power that it has. I mean, Gino Auriemma is one thing on the women's side, but on the men's side, they've done it with Hurley, they've done it with Kevin Ollie, and Jim Calhoun before that. So they've done it with, you know, several guys, and they don't have anything to offer there at all. But it's amazing.
Before we move forward, we got to say thank you to Coach Stacy Terry Hudson.
Oh, yeah, that was good, right?
Terrific interview. You all right, Adam? You got all kinds of things going on with this screen right now. My face is big. It's small. What are we doing, man?
Don't let it distract you.
Okay, sorry.
Scraby's got it all messed up.
Are you just having? What are you just playing?
Scraby's not even here to defend himself.
Are you just playing with the knobs over there?
He can't defend himself. I'll take shots. It's all good.
You're just playing with the knobs. You're like a child over there. Set it up the way it's supposed to be set up.
I can do it just fine if I have just you guys on camera.
Hey, your ear looks really good right now, by the way. I must say. There you go.
Your ear.
But yeah, Lakers miss out on who I think is a terrific coach. He's going to go back to the home he's built at UConn, and it's a pretty good one, I must say. It's not like he's leaving a program that's on the downside. He literally has won back-to-back titles. He'll be going for a third straight. I hope he doesn't get it. Did I say that out loud? That slipped out. I'm sorry. So the Padres. The Lakers have to now turn their attention elsewhere, and I'm kind of scared where that attention may go, I must say, Chris.
Well, I don't really know of any other candidates. Like, did J.J. Redick celebrate when he heard this news at 11 o'clock this morning?
Probably,
because he thinks it's going to be him?
If I'm J.J. Redick, I'm celebrating. I know my chances just went up. Now,
yeah.
I listened to Woj talk about it earlier, and he wasn't talking as though J.J. was like the next option for sure. He said they hadn't even brought JJ in for like an in-person meeting yet. And so if that's the case, then I feel a little bit more comfortable in terms of what their searches look like. I did hear the name Jay Wright today as a possible.
I remember this is another. Well, he didn't win back-to-back. He won two out of three NCAA championships at Villanova.
So I think that is a name I've heard. I think I would be comfortable with a Jay Wright. He's actually coached.
If they're going for very successful college coaches, they better not. But, you know, I bet you Brian Dutcher would listen.
I bet you Dutch would listen. But for selfish reasons, I don't want Dutch.
I don't want them to call him. Don't call him. Leave
him
at all. Leave him be.
I see where they're going here. And I think this is a move that signals that they are thinking beyond the time of LeBron James. Because I can't imagine that LeBron wants to play for any college coach outside of Dan Hurley, who we know he has publicly said he thinks he's a offensive basketball savant.
Right.
Outside of that, I can't imagine that that's what the way he would want to go. So to me, this signals that they are thinking beyond LeBron James era. Go ahead, Adam.
It's funny you mentioned that they hadn't brought in J.J. Redick. Did you guys hear the clip of J.J. Redick on, I think it's called Gojo and Golic with Golic Jr. and his dad?
Yeah,
Golic.
When they asked him about it, he said, I'll talk to you guys about it basically after the finals.
And then he basically said, I got something coming for Shams. It seemed like he was taking issue with the reporting that he was basically the front runner for the job.
Yeah, well, I didn't take it that way. It seemed, I at the time, because this happened about, I think this happened maybe the day the news broke that Dan Hurley was actually a candidate, or it might have been the day before. I took it to the idea that he was laughing at the Dan Hurley report. But clearly, that not true, because Dan Hurley not only flew to Los Angeles, but was actually offered a contract. So it clearly was right. So I don't know. Maybe JJ is playing. You know, I saw that interview, and the whole way he did it just seemed suspicious to me. So maybe
I took it as like this reporting is not accurate.
I'll
take it up with him. And by the way, like, he's set to call his first career NBA Finals as a broadcaster, and like, the focus is not on that. It's on the Lakers job instead.
Which also leads me to believe that if that is true, that also leads me to believe that the Lakers were part in putting that out there to get everybody off their scent of Dan Hurley. Because we were up until that news that Dan Hurley was a candidate, I think, even though I was sad about it, we were all led to believe that J.J. Redick was about to be the Laker head coach until that day. So maybe that you're right, Adam. Maybe that's exactly why he was kind of, I don't know how you would describe the energy he was giving off there, but it was weird. I know that.
Here's one thing that I find weird, guys, and this has little to do with the Laker head coaching job, but everything to do with a human being looking into the eyes of another human being and saying no to $70 million. How do you do that?
Ask I don't Juan know. I've never Soto. Had the opportunity.
Ask Juan Soto. All right. Are you character over there? But I mean, that had to be kind of an interesting conversation. I mean, the Lakers really went out of their way here to do everything for this guy. I almost fully expected that the Lakers thought they would get him with this offer.
Yesterday, there was a report out that he was at a Billy Joel concert in New York, and Jesse turned to me. He said, that's not good news.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand it. Like, why is that not good news? He's hanging out in New York still. He was having himself a good. That doesn't sound like a guy who's pondering whether he's about to fly to L.A. for his new coaching job. That sounds like a guy that was pretty comfortable enough to say, you know what, I'm gonna go check a concert out tonight. I'm not even worried about it. And then sure enough, we wake up today, and he's going back to UConn. I'm going to be salty for like at least 48 hours on this. Like, and I'm acting like a spoiled child. You know, the Lakers usually get everything they want. But
especially when they offer up $70 million. They should definitely get what they want.
5 for 70? That was, 5 years, 70 mil, right?
Six years,
70 mil.
Yeah, so about $12 million a year. I don't know
maybe
that UConn can come close to that.
Maybe he wanted more.
I don't think so. I think honestly he's really seems from what we're reading here, it seems like he really just wants a chance to win three in a row, and
I hope
the fame goes along with that. But
yeah, well, I hope
I hope
he gets.
What do you mean, Chris? Is it championship or bust? It's so difficult in a tournament, a single elimination tournament with that many teams. It's like
I don't know. Wasn't
is
difficult
he going to the NBA next year if they don't three-peat?
I don't know. It wasn't difficult for them. They won every game in both tournaments by more than 15 or 20 points.
Yeah,
I mean they weren't even threatened in a single game of last year's tournament or this year.
I hope this is cockiness. I hope he fails, and then 5 years down the line, man, he's going to be wishing he took that job.
I don't know. I read somewhere that the one he really wants is the Knicks. That he's going to do this for a couple years and then take the Knicks.
As long as you didn't say the Celtics, I would be good.
It's probably Stephen A. Smith bringing the Knick idea up, knowing him.
Tony, I find it hilarious.
It's interesting.
I find it hilarious if it is Stephen A. because he was on there talking about, I don't know how much better he would be than Darvin Ham. He's trying to play his cards to get him to New York. I see what he's doing there. Go ahead, Adam.
It's interesting you mentioned Jay Wright, though, because it seemed like he wasn't jumping to get back into being a coach when Kentucky came open. He was like, no, I'm good as a broadcaster.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
They're all good as a broadcaster until somebody starts throwing $70 million around.
Well, that's the thing. This is why I don't understand the Dan Hurley decision, because I think the college landscape is going to be a harder landscape until there is some governance over how they're going to handle the NIL and the transfer report. Like, I feel like there's less stability there in college basketball now. Now, he might be a little different because he's coming off two back-to-back titles, but what we do know is folks got a shorter memory in 2024 than they ever have had in the past. So if 2025 comes, no title, 2026 comes, no title, we're going to be having this conversation again. What happened to UConn? You know, this is how the media works in today's day and age. So,
where's Kevin Ollie right now?
That's a great question. Where is Kevin?
He won
Ollie?
A national title with UConn.
With the UConn,
not
didn't
too
he?
Long ago.
They got him up out of there. Quick, too.
You remember Kevin Ollie. He was Kevin Durant's guy. Remember, he was supposed to be the big NBA head coach at one point.
Where was Danny Hurley before UConn?
Anybody Providence?
Know? I don't know.
Rhode Island?
The only Hurley I'd ever heard of before he came to UConn was Bobby Hurley. Like, I didn't even know Danny Hurley.
I mean, Bobby was at Arizona State there for a little bit.
He was at Rhode Island from 2012 to 2018.
Yeah, well, Bobby Hurley's still at Arizona State.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but their dad was a big-time coach, and Bobby Hurley was a great player at Duke, and Danny Hurley was unheard of, pretty much. But he was at Rhode Island from 2012 to 2018.
Very, very
salty. And he's actually been at UConn since 2018. I did not realize that.
Kevin Ollie was an interim head coach in the National Basketball Association this past season. Want to take a guess at the team, Tony?
Kevin Ollie was?
Yeah.
Oh, I did see that. Where was he at? No. Go ahead. Give it to me.
Brooklyn Nets.
Hmm.
He was out of coaching for 3 years after UConn, and then he went to Overtime Elite, which is like the pro development league in Atlanta that leads into the NBA draft. And he was there for 3 years, and then he became an assistant with the Nets and took over as interim head coach.
I like Jay Wright right now. I don't know if that's an actual real one. I just read it somewhere. But
it's not J.J. Redick. So that's why you want
it. Let me reiterate this. It's not that I don't like J.J. Redick. He's just never coached. I mean, Dan Hurley literally coached high school. He coached college. He coached to two national champs. I like it. I know we're in a world where experience is at the bottom of the list of things that you want in people, but I actually kind of like experience when it comes to these type of jobs. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Mark Jackson, Pat Riley, broadcasters. Had great success.
Mark, hey, maybe we need to look at Mark. Maybe we need to look at Mr. Jackson.
Call Mark Jackson. Anybody but J.J. Redick, Tony says.
I hate that you keep saying it like that.
Yeah, but it's true.
Like, I can't stand this guy. I like J.J. I don't want him to be my coach.
All right. Well, we'll see where it goes. That was the big story
today. And he
today,
went to Duke, too. That also plays a part in it, too.
Oh, no kidding, man. Who needs that arrogance on your sidelines?
All right, let's get to break.
Dan Hurley isn't arrogant at all.
Well, he, but
it's
he
a
has,
different, it's a different type
right,
of arrogance.
He has
though.
Reason for it.
It's a different type of arrogance. Yes, he's actually won something. So yeah. There's that. All right, let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the program. 3:21 is the time. Chris Ella, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park. He'll be running around for a minute. He'll be back with us for our Padre Pen Pal segment, which comes up in about 10 minutes. Adam Klug in for the healing Matt Scraby. Mr. Scraby underwent successful shoulder surgery this morning. Feeling fine, a little groggy, as I'm told, this afternoon. We do expect him with us from home tomorrow. So good for Matt Scraby. I'm glad he got that shoulder situation taken care of. Padres lineup is out for tonight's game. We told you earlier that Manny Machado would be returning to the starting lineup. That is true. What happened to my organ? He just started in and then he called it a night. Now, there we go. Luis Arraez will be at first base. Speaking of Luis Arraez, did you see that he went 0 for 5 yesterday? I noted that because it never happens. The last time Luis Arraez went 0 for 5 or worse was opening day this season when he was with the Marlins. He went 0 for 6 in a 12-inning game against the Pirates. But his first 0 for 5 as a Padre, look for him to bounce back with a minimum of 3 hits tonight. Fernando Tatis will be in right field, Profar in left, Cronenworth at second, Machado is DHing in the 5 spot, Solano at third, Jackson Merrill, Ha-Seong Kim, and Luis Campusano rounds it out against A's right-hander Joey Estes, 4.67 ERA, 2-1 record, Dylan Cease for the Padres. All right, Adam Klug, let's get to a little of our daily gambit, some winners and losers over the weekend.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Hi, Daily Gambit, daily sports wagering segment. But really, it's just our picks. Scraby always says, please gamble responsibly. He's too nice. What he should say is, gamble responsibly out there. Shouldn't be so nice about it. Tell you people to take care of yourselves.
Rather than suggesting they gamble responsibly.
Exactly.
Command.
Command that you... thank you, Adam. Exactly what I was after there. Over the weekend, we had plenty of picks. Padres Friday night, 1.5 run favorite over Arizona. We all went Padres. Not sure why. They were mired in a 5-game losing streak at the time. But we were correct as they won over the Arizona Diamondbacks 10-3. We also bet on whether Michael King would throw more innings than Brandon Pfaadt, a matchup of the two starting pitchers Well, even though the Padres won 10-3, Fought actually pitched longer in the game. He went 5 1/3. King went 5. So we lost that one. Saturday morning, Iga Swiatek won her 4th French Open championship. She was favored by 6.5 games there over the young Italian lady, Paolini.
Try pronouncing that first name 5 times.
I don't even know her first name.
No, so. The first one, Iga Swiatek.
Iga Swiatek. She won comfortably, 6-2, 6-1. A blowout victory for Iga. And we were correct on that one. Carlos Alcaraz on Sunday in the French Open men's final. The bet was on him and him alone to win over or under 20.5 games. Because the match went 5, he did win over 20.5 games. He won 25. He also won the match, winning his 3rd Grand Slam championship at the tender age of 21. Alcaraz is the next great thing in men's tennis. Last night, NBA Finals Game 2. Boston Celtics were a 7-point favorite over the Dallas Mavericks. Doesn't matter who we picked in this one. Came out a tie. Push, as the gambling lingo goes. Boston won at 105-98. I will say this. I don't know what the Mavericks were doing at the end. The Celtics had the ball with 25 seconds left, leading by 7, and Dallas just didn't foul. What were they trying to make sure that they didn't lose to the spread? Why don't you foul? It's a 1,000,000-to-1 shot that you're going to win the game at that point. But it is the NBA Finals. Take the shot. Foul them. I didn't get that. Like, I don't get just giving up the game with 25 seconds to go. If it's a 17-point lead, fine. But 7? Crazier things have happened. Ask Reggie Miller at Madison Square Garden. So I didn't really understand that too much. Jaylen Brown against Kyrie Irving. Who would score the most points? Tony and Scraby said Kyrie. I went with Jaylen Brown. Brown won 21-16 there. And then the Stanley Cup Finals got underway over the weekend. Adam, did you tune in to that?
I did not. I've never.
Are you
really
not a hockey guy in any way, shape,
no,
or form since you're Atlanta and you've lost 2 NHL teams over the years?
No. We all tried to get into hockey one time. The Atlanta Thrashers were terrible forever. They finally made the playoffs for the first time ever.
I remember that.
Everyone got behind them, and they got swept in the first round. And it was like, okay, that was fun while it lasted.
That was it. You gave up on them after that. Florida took game 1 over Edmonton, 3-0. Fine performance by Florida goaltender Sergei Bobrovsky. Yeah, that's right, Bobrovsky. He shut down the high-powered Oilers to take game 1. Game 2 is tonight. I picked Florida there. Tony and Scraby took Edmonton. So that's the weekend that was. I had a good week. I went 16-9 with 1 push. Here's tonight's selections. Start with the Stanley Cup Game 2. Florida, again, favored by 1.5 goals over Edmonton. Edmonton will bounce back tonight, I say. And even this series. Although Florida's really, really good. Florida Panthers. How about a hockey Stanley Cup coming to South Florida? It would not be the first time. Tampa Bay won 2 in a row. A couple of years ago.
I knew that.
All of a sudden, South Florida is becoming the hotbed for hockey.
That was Martin St. Louis.
Martin St. Louis? No, he was a Tampa Bay Lightning player for many years.
He wasn't on those championship teams?
He was on the very first one about 10, 15 years ago, but not on the recent 2 vintage Tampa Bay Lightning
then
championship teams.
Then I rescind my
St.
Louis comment.
It was good, though. You came up with the name. Over-under for goals tonight is 5.5 for the 2 teams combined. I'll tell you, goals have been really hard to come by in these series. But Edmonton is just too good to hold down back-to-back games. They'll score at least 3. Florida gets at least... I think it's going to go over tonight. Georgia, your Bulldogs, taking on North Carolina State. Baseball, Adam Klug. This is for the final spot in the College World Series. The first seven slots have been taken. It'll either be Georgia or NC State for the final spot. Since you're here, I'll pick North Carolina State.
Thank you. Appreciate the support.
You're welcome.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Right now, by the way, of the teams that are already in the College World Series, four are from the SEC and three are from the ACC. No one else need apply.
It just matters more.
Yeah, I know. That's what the... you know what? When you SEC schools get a pro team anywhere nearby, let me know.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's supposed to mean that you should root for your college teams when you're in the SEC. That's all you've got.
Atlanta's got plenty of pro teams there.
And how many SEC teams are in Atlanta? None.
Yeah, I mean, it's the state of Georgia. University of Georgia. Does that not count?
No. Georgia's in Athens. Alabama's in Tuscaloosa. There's no pro teams there. Auburn is in Auburn. Baton Rouge. Need I go on? Gainesville.
No, are you proud of yourself over there?
Knoxville.
Atlanta has Georgia Tech. That's a major school. It's ACC as opposed to SEC.
Well, but they're not SEC. WNBA tonight. The Seattle Storm are 11-point favorites over the struggling LA Sparks. Just for fun, I'll take the Sparks. And my one of my new favorites, Cameron Brink, center from Stanford, is off to a good start in her rookie season, but they haven't won much. A's and Padres tonight, 7 runs over under. Cease could pitch a shutout. I'm going to say over. Padres are going to get back to their hitting after a day off of hitting. And this is a tough one here. Cease over-under for strikeouts, 8.5. That's a high number. I'll say under. Sorry about that, Dylan, but 9's too many to bet for. All right, we'll let you know how the picks come out tomorrow. Take a break. When we return, Padres pen pals, you've got questions, we've got answers on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back to the program. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Padres and Oakland Athletics getting ready tonight. Where did the A's begin? Adam Klug?
I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
Philadelphia A's. Yeah. How about that? Way back when there was two teams in Philly. There were the A's and the Phillies. There was two teams in Boston at that time. Red Sox and Braves. Your Atlanta Braves started in Boston. There were two teams in St. Louis way back when, Cardinals and Browns. And then, of course, there were three teams in New York, two teams in Chicago. It's so weird when you consider that before 1958, and that's reasonably a short time ago in the realm of history. See, it's not that long ago. And before baseball moved west of the Mississippi, there's really only 5 or 6 cities that even had baseball. Very interesting to me, anyway. Philadelphia A's then moved to... Adam, you want to get that one?
So you're telling me there was a city, a stop in between Philadelphia and Oakland?
There was. You're not aware. How about that?
That I'm not going to get.
You didn't
that
know
one.
That one, huh? They were the Kansas City Athletics for several years there. Yeah, how about that?
And they're soon to be the.
Pretty soon they're going to be the Las Vegas. Sacramento. Yeah, they're going now
playing some neutral site games somewhere.
That's yeah. I guess a lot of people don't remember the Kansas City A's, the golden days of the Kansas City A's.
Hold on, how long were they there for?
Well, I was just going to look that up because I had a feeling you might ask something like that. And I got to
ask good follow-up questions when you throw someone out there like that.
Well, and I was aware that you're a good follow-up question guy. That's why I was preparing to try and find an answer to your question. But I'm not there yet. Kansas City A's played, oh my goodness, I'm looking in the wrong place now. Doesn't say yet. It says Oakland A's also played as the Philadelphia A's and the Kansas City A's. Yes, I'm aware of that. They were in Kansas City. Man, that took way too long to find. From 1955 to 67. 13-season run in KC. They never finished higher than 7th place out of 10 teams in the old American League before moving to Oakland in 1968 and leaving Oakland in 2024, as it were. You know, it's all Luis Ariza's fault. Did I mention that to you?
No, but I know you've had this ongoing thing.
That, Manny's only hit one home run since Ariza got here.
His single-hitting nature has rubbed off on Manny.
Right. But here's even a further denigration of Ariza in that regard. Fernando Tatis Jr., as hot as he is, has yet to hit a home run with a man on base since Ariza arrived.
All those singles.
Pretty weird.
Never resulting in a two-run homer.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe earlier when you said that Ariza went 0-for-6 on opening day. I can't picture that.
You can't picture that happening?
Going 0-for-6 in a game.
How about this? In the second game of this season, Ariza went 0-for-4. So he started the season 0-for-10.
In Miami Sports Talk Radio, they were calling for Ariza's head.
Probably so, yes. But he's rebounded nicely since then. But yeah, that's weird that with all the times that Ariza has been on base, Fernando hasn't homered yet with a man on base since Ariza arrived.
Can I go back to the athletics conversation for a moment?
You may.
Zach in the YouTube chat says Reggie Jackson was a Kansas City A.
It's where he started.
I can't validate that. I'm not confirming. 97.3 The Fan is not running with that.
You're not going with that yet?
That's according to Zach in the chat.
I think Zach's right. I think Zach's absolutely right. Reggie Reginald Martinez Jackson.
Let's see. Kansas City / Oakland Athletics, it says on Wikipedia, from 67 to 75.
So 67.
It doesn't say which years he was there. But
no, but 67 says, he would have been right. With the KCAs.
There you go.
Reggie Jackson hit one home run for the KCAs in 1967 as a rookie.
I did not know that Reggie Jackson played for the Baltimore Orioles in 1967.
You didn't know that. He snuck in there for 1 year in Baltimore. Yeah. He also finished his career in Oakland. I wouldn't have got that back in 1987. All right. We got to get to more pressing matters. We've got some Padre pen pals to take care of. People have questions about the local baseball team. Tony Gwynn Jr. and I have answers, and we have those answers right after traffic.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. We're going to do some Padre Pen Pals today. Padres coming off a 4-game split against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Don't look now. The Padres are getting ready to host one of baseball's worst teams. Let's just not tell the Padres, shall we? Hopefully they'll go out there and play a little better against the A's than they did previously against the lowly Angels last week, Rockies before that. So I imagine we'll have some questions from the Peanut Gallery. Adam Klug's going to take us through some, and Tony and I will do our best to come up with a response for all of you. You ready to go, Adam?
Let's do it.
All right.
All right, guys. I love the scribbling in the background.
I do, too.
I know it doesn't matter now, and the Padres won the game, but I thought my friend's group had a fun question. Let me add a little disclaimer. This is from Scravy. This is not me. These are Scravy and his group text.
Yes.
On Saturday night, the Padres won by a wide margin. Toddy had already extended his hitting streak, so this question is purely hypothetical. Say Toddy didn't have a hit later in the game. He was removed Saturday night. Do you think Mike Schilt would leave him in there so he can try and extend the streak?
I'll start. I think he would have. I think Mike Schilt's about that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, there's a couple of things here now. There's two ways. First thing, when Jeremiah Estrada got the 13 strikeouts in a row, Mike Schilt was so big on that. And after the game, talking about what a great, you know, achievement that was and how we saw some history, et cetera, and really supported that. So that leads me to believe
But Chris, can I jump in for a second? In the next outing, are you going to get to that?
Yes. Okay. That's right. That's the other side. The other side of this is in his next outing, he brought him into a game and then ordered an intentional walk. which I believe officially would have ended the streak.
Right.
Fortunately, the next guy hit the ball off Estrada anyway. But I think you've got to manage to win, you know, first and foremost. But when you got a big lead like that, hitting streak, I think even at 14-15, I think you let him try to keep it alive.
Tony, what do you think?
Do I think Mike would have... I think he would have deferred to Toddy. If Toddy wanted the rest versus the at-bat, I think he would have obliged.
Follow-up question now. This is me. How important is, say, a 14-ish game hitting streak to a player? You were a former player. You've been around a lot of guys. Do you think that's something that would matter to a guy like Tatis?
I mean, all hitting streaks are somewhat important, but it's, you know, it's not the end-all be. I think you got the streak, you live in it. After that, you don't even think about it no more. Like, once it's broken, it's not like, oh, that was such a fun thing to be, have 14 days of hits. I mean, tell you what, Marte had one not too long ago that was like in the teens, and he was hitting like 250 in it.
He went for 20 straight games, I think.
Yeah, so do you want that? His average dropped from like 3-something to like 2-something. I mean, are you tripping about your hitting streak at that point? Probably not.
Let me ask one last thing, Tony, because Adam asked about whether he'd take the at-bat or rest. Did you ever feel like you needed to rest rather than take an at-bat? Like, to me, I'd always be like, yeah, of course I want to hit. Maybe not go into the field, but...
I wasn't playing every day like Toddy is.
That's so true. So you don't know. You might not be the right person to ask.
I can't answer that question. Of course, I would have been like, heck yeah, I'm taking my bet. I don't know if I'm going to keep getting these, so...
Yeah.
All right, guys. Dylan Cease has had a tremendous year for the Padres so far, and obviously the big trade acquisition for the White Sox. The cost to acquire him, the key piece was Drew Thorpe, the reliever who came from the Yankees in the Juan Soto trade. Thorpe is on the verge of making his debut for the White Sox, which will happen tomorrow, and obviously kind of had my eyes on that. Did you guys think that Drew Thorpe was this close to reaching the bigs when he was traded away? I mean, Tony, you saw him in spring training.
I mean, quite frankly, I didn't care how close he was because we were getting Dylan Cease. So, you know, he could have been the starter. He could have been the number 3 starter for the Padres the moment he got traded. If they said, hey, we're going to trade him for Dylan Cease, I'd have been like, done deal.
I don't know how close he was, you know, with the Padres, but I would agree to the point where I wouldn't have thought he was this close, but when you get traded to one of the worst teams ever, that moves your timeline up quite a bit, right?
That
I mean,
part.
What do the White Sox have to lose? You know, they might as well bring him up, see what he can do a little bit. You know, back down, nothing gained, nothing lost. So, you know, going to a bad team, in essence, is really good for a really young player because they're going to get the opportunity way earlier than they are if they're on a great team. So, you know, and if you pitch well, then somebody else wants you and they trade for you. That's how that'll hopefully work. So I hope it works for Drew Thorpe. Although I'm sure most San Diego fans are going to keep an eye on his game tomorrow night and hope he doesn't do well. I also am going to hope that he doesn't do well, because if he does well, you know what's going to happen on Wednesday, Tony? The phones are going to light up. Oh, I can't believe we traded Drew Thorpe. You know, all of the same people have been happy to have Dylan Cease, so we know how this works.
You know what fan is short for?
Fanatic.
Let's get to the final question in today's Padres Pen Pals. Adam Mazur got roughed up yesterday in his second outing, his home debut in front of the Friar faithful. He gave up 8 earned runs in just 3 innings of work. How long of a leash do you guys believe Adam Mazur, one of the top prospects in the Padres organization, deserves? Chris?
Well, let's just start by saying that there are very few big league pitchers that over the course of time, somewhere along the line, haven't given up a 7 or an 8. It's happened to even the best of them. So that in and itself is not enough for me to rush to judgment on Adam Mazur. Somebody tweeted out something interesting that I saw today, and it was dated May 5th. So that's a month ago. And the tweet was from some Padre blogger, and it said, I think the Matt Waldron experience is over, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw that one.
Did you see that one, Tone? Yeah,
I did.
So here we are a month later.
I think we had a round table with everybody basically saying that Matt Waldron, except for me and you, I think. That,
pretty much. So,
that it should be done.
Yeah. So, you know, if you would have given up on Matt Waldron that day, then you would have lost out on a 1.2 ERA for the last month. Now, that also doesn't mean Adam Mays is going to pitch like that.
No.
But here's the thing. Right now, they need Adam Major. I don't think there's any question.
Context matters.
Yes, they need him.
Ding, 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 ding.
If he wasn't, if Darvish was healthy and Musgrove was healthy and he made a spot start, that probably would have been enough to get him sent right back. But they can't really send him right back at the moment. I mean, he's got to make at least one or two more starts till somebody else gets healthy. So I think that's going to dictate it for him.
Let's not forget he did have a quality start in his first,
yes, he did.
First outing,
yes,
as well.
He
did. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, no, they need him as long as whoever's hurt is hurt, right? I mean, whether it's Darvish or whether it's Musgrove, they need him to fill the void until they get healthy. Because the reality is, I don't know who's down there that's going to help, and I don't think there is.
We just had someone write into the Padres pen pals in real time here, fellas, okay?
Okay.
You, Darvish, is supposed to be back somewhat soon, right? Whereas Musgrove might be a couple months. So when you, Darvish, returns, do you continue rolling with Randy Vasquez or Adam Major?
I don't think this is really a good... I don't think this is a question. I think you absolutely run with Vasquez. Vasquez has had, what, 7 starts now?
Been a little better, yeah. A little more reliable.
Every start, it seems like. He's the guy. Major clearly, you know, in the first 2 starts.
Welcome back to the program. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Padres and Oakland Athletics getting ready tonight. Where did the A's begin? Adam Klug?
I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
Philadelphia A's. Yeah. How about that? Way back when there was 2 teams in Philly. There were the A's and the Phillies. There was 2 teams in Boston at that time. Red Sox and Braves. Your Atlanta Braves started in Boston. There were 2 teams in St. Louis way back when. Cardinals and Browns. And then, of course, there were 3 teams in New York, 2 teams in Chicago. It's so weird when you consider that before 1958, and that's reasonably a short time ago in the realm of history. See, it's not that long ago. And before baseball moved west of the Mississippi, there's really only 5 or 6 cities that even had baseball. Very interesting to me, anyway. Philadelphia A's then moved to... Adam, you want to get that one?
So you're telling me there was a city, a stop in between Philadelphia and Oakland?
There was. You're not aware. How about that?
That I'm not going to get
You didn't
that
know
one.
That one, huh? They were the Kansas City Athletics for several years there. Yeah. How about that?
They're soon to be the...
Pretty soon they're going to be
Sacramento,
the Las Vegas. Sacramento. Yeah, they're going now.
Playing some neutral site games somewhere.
That's, yeah. I guess a lot of people don't remember the Kansas City A's. The golden days of the Kansas City A's.
Hold on. Right. How long were they there for?
Well, I was just going to look that up because I had a feeling you might ask something like that. And I got to
ask good follow-up questions when you throw someone out there like
well,
that.
Well, and I was aware that you're a good follow-up question guy. That's why I was preparing to try and find an answer to your question. But I'm not there yet. Kansas City A's played... Oh, my goodness. I'm looking in the wrong place now. Doesn't say yet. It says Oakland A's also played as the Philadelphia A's and the Kansas City A's. Yes, I'm aware of that. They were in Kansas City. Man, that took way too long to find. From 1955 to 67.
Like 12-year,
13-season run in KC. They never finished higher than 7th place out of 10 teams in the old American League before moving to Oakland in 1968. And leaving Oakland in 2024, as it were. You know, it's all Luis Ariza's fault. Did I mention that to you?
No, but I know you've had this ongoing thing.
that Manny's only hit one home run since Arraez got here.
His single hitting nature has rubbed off on Manny.
Right. But here's even a further denigration of Arraez in that regard. Fernando Tatis Jr., as hot as he is, has yet to hit a home run with a man on base since Arraez arrived.
All those singles.
Pretty weird.
Never resulting in a two-run homer.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe earlier when you said that Arraez went 0 for 6 on opening day. I can't picture that.
You can't picture that happening?
Going 0 for 6 in a game.
How about this? In the second game of this season, Arraez went 0 for 4. So they started the season 0 for 10.
In Miami Sports Talk Radio, they were calling for Arraez's head.
Probably so, yes. But he's rebounded nicely since then. But yeah, that's weird that with all the times that Arraez has been on base, Fernando hasn't homered yet with a man on base since Arraez arrived.
Can I go back to the athletics conversation for a moment?
You may.
Zach in the YouTube chat says Reggie Jackson was a Kansas City A.
It's where he started.
I can't validate that. I'm not confirming. 97.3 The Fan is not running with that.
You're not going with that yet?
That's according to Zach in the chat.
I think Zach's right. I think Zach's absolutely right. Reginald Martinez Jackson.
Let's see. Kansas City / Oakland Athletics, it says on Wikipedia, from 67 to 75.
So 67.
It doesn't say which years he was there. But
no, but 67 says, he would have been right. With the KCAs.
There you go.
Reggie Jackson hit one home run for the KCAs in 1967 as a rookie.
I did not know that Reggie Jackson played for the Baltimore Orioles in 1967.
You didn't know that. He snuck in there for 1 year in Baltimore. Yeah. He also finished his career in Oakland. I wouldn't have got that back in 1987. All right. We got to get to more pressing matters. We've got some Padre pen pals to take care of. People have questions about the local baseball team. Tony Gwynn Jr. and I have answers, and we have those answers right after traffic.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. We're going to do some Padre Pen Pals today. Padres coming off a four-game split against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Don't look now. The Padres are getting ready to host one of baseball's worst teams. Let's just not tell the Padres, shall we? Hopefully they'll go out there and play a little better against the A's than they did previously against the lowly Angels last week, Rockies before that. So I imagine we'll have some questions from the Peanut Gallery. Adam Klug's going to take us through some, and Tony and I will do our best to come up with a response for all of you. You ready to go, Adam?
Let's do it.
All right.
All right, guys. I love the scribbling in the background.
I do, too.
I know it doesn't matter now, and the Padres won the game, but I thought my friend's group had a fun question. Let me add a little disclaimer. This is from Scraby. This is not me. These are Scraby and his group text.
Yes.
On Saturday night, the Padres won by a wide margin. Toddy had already extended his hitting streak, so this question is purely hypothetical. Say Toddy didn't have a hit later in the game. He was removed Saturday night. Do you think Mike Schilt would leave him in there so he can try and extend the streak?
I'll start. I think he would have. I think Mike Schilt's about that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, there's a couple of things here now. There's two ways. First thing, when Jeremiah Estrada got the 13 strikeouts in a row, Mike Schilt was so big on that. And after the game, talking about what a great, you know, achievement that was and how we saw some history, et cetera, and really supported that. So that leads me to believe
But Chris, can I jump in for a second? In the next outing, are you going to get to that?
Yes, okay. That's right. That's the other side. The other side of this is in his next outing, he brought him into a game and then ordered an intentional walk. Right. Which I believe officially would have ended the streak.
Right.
Fortunately, the next guy hit the ball off Estrada anyway. But I think you've got to manage to win, you know, first and foremost. But when you got a big lead like that, hitting streak, I think even at 14-15, I think you let him try to keep it alive.
Tony, what do you think?
Do I think Mike would have... I think he would have deferred to Toddy. If Toddy wanted the rest versus the at-bat, I think he would have obliged.
Follow-up question now. This is me. How important is, say, a 14-ish game hitting streak to a player? You were a former player. You've been around a lot of guys. Do you think that's something that would matter to a guy like Tatis?
I mean, all hitting streaks are somewhat important, but it's, you know, it's not the end all be. I think you got the streak, you live in it. After that, you don't even think about it no more. Like, once it's broken, it's not like, oh, that was such a fun thing to be, have 14 days of hits. I mean, tell you what, Marte had one not too long ago that was like in the, it was in the teens, and he was hitting like 250 in it.
He went for 20 straight games, I think.
Yeah, so do you want that? His average dropped from like 3-something to like 2-something. I mean, are you tripping about your hitting streak at that point? Probably not.
Let me ask one last thing, Tony, because Adam asked about whether he'd take the at-bat or rest. Did you ever feel like you needed to rest rather than take an at-bat? Like, to me, I'd always be like, yeah, of course I want to hit. Maybe not go into the field, but
I'm not playing. I wasn't playing every day like Toddy is.
That's so true. So you don't know. You might not be the right person to ask.
I can't answer that question. Of course, I would have been like, heck yeah, I'm taking my bat. I don't know if I'm going to keep getting these. So
yeah.
All right, guys. Dylan Cease has had a tremendous year for the Padres so far, and obviously the big trade acquisition for the White Sox. The cost to acquire him, the key piece was Drew Thorpe, the reliever who came from the Yankees in the Juan Soto trade. Thorpe is on the verge of making his debut for the White Sox, which will happen tomorrow, and obviously kind of had my eyes on that. Did you guys think that Drew Thorpe was this close to reaching the bigs when he was traded away? I mean, Tony, you saw him in spring training.
I mean, quite frankly, I didn't care how close he was because we were getting Dylan Cease. So, you know, he could have been knocking on the door. He could have been the starter. He could have been another 3 starter for the Padres the moment he got traded. If they said, hey, we're going to trade him for Dylan Cease, I'd have been like, done deal.
I don't know how close he was, you know, with the Padres. But I would agree to the point where I wouldn't have thought he was this close. But when you get traded to one of the worst teams ever, that moves your timeline up quite a bit. Right? I mean, what do the White Sox have to lose? You know, they might as well bring him up, see what he can do a little bit. You know, back down, nothing gained, nothing lost. So, you know, going to a bad team, in essence, is really good for a really young player because they're going to get the opportunity way earlier than they are if they're on a great team. So, you know, and if you pitch well, then somebody else wants you and they trade for you. That's how that'll hopefully work. So I hope it works for Drew Thorpe, although I'm sure most San Diego fans are going to keep an eye on his game tomorrow night and hope he doesn't do well. I also am going to hope that he doesn't do well, because if he does well, you know what's going to happen on Wednesday, Tony? Phones are going to light up. Oh, I can't believe we traded Drew Thorpe. You know, all of the same people have been happy to have Dylan Cease, so we know how this works.
You know what fan is short for?
Fanatic.
Let's get to the final question in today's Padres Pen Pals. Adam Mazur got roughed up yesterday in his second outing, his home debut in front of the Friar faithful. He gave up 8 earned runs in just 3 innings of work. How long of a leash do you guys believe Adam Mazur, one of the top prospects in the Padres organization, deserves? Chris?
Well, let's just start by saying that there are very few big league pitchers that over the course of time, somewhere along the line, haven't given up a 7 or an 8. It's happened to even the best of them. So that in and itself is not enough for me to rush to judgment on Adam Mazur. Somebody tweeted out something interesting that I saw today, and it was dated May 5th. So that's a month ago. And the tweet was from some Padre blogger, and it said, I think the Matt Waldron experience is over, don't you?
Mm-hmm. And here I saw that one.
Did you see that one, Tone? Yeah,
I did.
So here we are a month later.
I think we had a round table with everybody basically saying the Matt Waldron, except for me and you, I think. That,
pretty much. So
that it should be done.
Yeah, so, you know, if you would have given up on Matt Waldron that day, then you would have lost out on a 1.2 ERA for the last month. Now, that also doesn't mean Adam Mazur is going to pitch like that.
No.
But here's the thing. Right now, they need Adam Mazur. I don't think there's any question.
Context matters.
Yes, they need him.
Ding, 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 ding.
If he wasn't, if Darvish was healthy and Musgrove was healthy and he made a spot start, that probably would have been enough to get him sent right back. But they can't really send him right back at the moment. I mean, he's got to make at least one or two more starts till somebody else gets healthy. So I think that's going to dictate it for him.
Let's not forget he did have a quality start in his first,
yes, he did.
First outing as well. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, no, they need him as long as whoever's hurt is hurt, right? I mean, whether it's Darvish or whether it's Musgrove, they need him to fill the void until they get healthy. Because the reality is, I don't know who's down there that's going to help, and I don't think there is.
We just had someone write into the Padres pen pals in real time here, fellas, okay?
Okay.
So you, Darvish, is supposed to be back somewhat soon, right? Whereas Musgrove might be a couple months. So when you, Darvish, returns, do you continue rolling with Randy Vasquez or Adam Mazur?
I don't think this is really a good... I don't think this is a question. I think you absolutely run with Vasquez. Vasquez has had, what, seven starts now?
Been a little better, yeah. A little more reliable.
Every start, it seems like. He's the guy. Mazur clearly, you know, in the first two starts, the thing that I've noticed is he's not commanding the ball the same way that he was commanding it in the 3A, where he barely walked anybody and he was in the zone a lot.
You can even see it in the first game, Adam.
Yeah,
I mean, he walked four and got three double plays. You can't count on that.
No, you can't. So I think the answer is Vasquez, but I think for the time being, you know, you're going to need Mazur's going to get some on-the-job training at the big league level.
Yeah, and, you know, to me it's a team sport, right? So Padres, you know, next time he starts, put four on the board for the guy. Help him out. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
All right, that's going to wrap up our Padre Pen Pals today. Very good. Got a little Chris vs. the Fans headed your way next with a new guest host, Adam Klug, as the Master of Ceremonies. That means the questions might be accurate for a change. Stay tuned for that. Dial in if you want a chance to play some trivia and win some prizes. 833-288-0973.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.